Jordan Schultz with Yahoo Sports.
This is Mike Lubega with the New York Daily News and MLB.com, and welcome to a stripped-down, streamlined Friday version of the Sports Reporters Podcast. Just Jordan and me today, which is, you know, it's, and when I say Jordan and me, it almost sounds like Michael Jordan and me going forward with the Sports Reporters Podcast. We will start, Jordan, we'll start with the NBA because it is occurring to me that this is exactly, if somebody had been given money to bet at the start of the season, what Final Four would you have predicted? Boston, Cleveland, Houston, Golden State. And even with the injuries that the Warriors have had, they have taken a pretty straightforward, if they were on Waze, this would have been the path that Waze set them on to get to the Western Conference Finals. But it's crazier in the East. The Cavaliers change half their team, or it's essentially so, halfway through the season. The Celtics lose Gordon Hayward 5 minutes into the season, and then they lose Kyrie Irving, and here they are anyway. And so that's a long way around to saying, I think the Eastern Conference Final is going to be terrific. And as much as I love what LeBron's doing right now, Jordan, I don't think this is going to be any kind of walkover for the Cavaliers.
Mike, Boston to me is a team that everybody loves because they play such a branded basketball of team-oriented style hoops. And, you know, everything is shared. And if you watch Boston, it's so much different than Cleveland because they're running consistently sets that go into 6-5-4-3, like at the end of the shot clock. There's right. So much misdirection. There's so many screens. There's so many different things that they're trying to accomplish within a set that will confuse the opposing defense. Cleveland, I think Ty Lue has done a really good job of pushing these right buttons, and he's been somebody that we've criticized a lot as basketball fans because we wonder what exactly he's doing. But he's pushed the right buttons. He's gone back to his more experienced lineup, guys like Tristan Thompson, Kyle Korver, which is something that I imagine was difficult to do. But now that they're finally rolling, I wonder if I'm a Cleveland fan, how are my Cavs going to hold up against a Boston team, especially a Boston offense that is so oriented on precision and passing and ball movement and spacing? Because Cleveland's defense, it's been better, but that's been their biggest question mark all year.
Yeah, Jordan, that's the thing about the Celtics. And if you watch the Sixers series, the way they consistently got after it on defense was so impressive and so a tribute to the guy who's the best coach going, whether he got a Coach of the Year vote or not. And in all of the big moments for them in that series, And for all of the great sets they ran, and you know, Horford last Saturday getting the layup out of a time, all that stuff, okay, they won that series because they got stops and steals when they had to. You're right about the Cavs. LeBron consistently plays great defense, and he can often play it against whomever they need him to play it against at that end of the court. I think George Hill, I think the day we might have had this conversation, the week they had the trade, George Hill was going to be important to them, not as much for his offensive contributions as for his defense, okay? And Kevin Love is an underrated defensive player. But the Celtics are so long and so young and so athletic. It's going to be very interesting. It's starting on Sunday to see them chase the Cavaliers the way you know they will.
The second player for Cleveland, whether it's, you know, Love or Smith or whomever it's going to be, that second option, that to me is so massive in this series.
That second option, because when I think about the Cavs offensively, it's so oriented around LeBron, and right. At some point it's like, can he get enough help? Because Boston, Mike, number one defensive efficiency team in the league. You talk about those young wings, Tatum and Brown, you know, Horford, they're so smart. And I don't know if I've said this on this before, but like for me, offense is so much about, you know, helping each other and being unselfish, but defense is too, and Boston wants to do that. Like, they want to help each other, and that's on Brad Stevens. And you mentioned him Coach of the Year or not. Like, to me, he's the best coach in the league, and I know Isaiah Thomas said it's not even close. Like, I've been so impressed with him. You mentioned that they've lost all these guys. They don't miss a beat. It's all plug and play, and regardless of who's in the lineup, it's all the same. They always look the same. Which is to say they play the same on both sides. They help each other on both sides of the floor. They're much more of a team than Cleveland, but they don't have LeBron James.
Jordan, is there any chance, and we have all praised to the skies what Jason Tatum has done, and Danny Ainge for identifying him as the best player in that draft, and he never wanted Markelle Fultz. He wanted Jason Tatum, and he walked away with what he walked to. Is there any chance, though, that Tatum now, as he moves to this stage, might have the kind of series against the Cavs that Ben Simmons just had against him?
I'm going to say no. And there was a really good piece by a colleague of mine, Michael Lee at Yahoo, and it talked about how Tatum, since he was a kid, has been exposed to NBA basketball, whether it was LeBron or Kobe. And what's cool about that is he doesn't cower at all to the moment. I mean, he's shooting 46% in the playoffs. He's really become their go-to option more than Rozier and Horford and Brown. Like, when they need a bucket, it's Jason Tatum.
Right.
I don't expect him to struggle at all. In fact, if anything, I think he'll be better. Mike, have you seen a better-looking young prospect than Jason Tatum? I mean, he's so smooth, and he loves the big moment, and he's so skilled. I mean, the guy, he just turned 20 years old. It's remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, when Steph came in, I was thinking that he's kind of a basketball savant the way Steph is, except Steph had played college basketball. He had played through his college basketball career.
All 4 years.
This is a child. You're right. Tatum is a gifted child and has so been up to what I always like to call the circumstances of the occasion during this Celtics playoff run. And I'll let me ask you this, because what LeBron is doing right now is almost supernatural. We get all that, okay? He's having as good a month as I can remember anybody, including Michael, have in the playoffs. But coming in, I think, and especially because of home court, I think this is a really close series.
Yeah, I think Cleveland is, they have the best player in the world, but they don't have the same type of simpatico that Boston has.
Right,
you
right,
know? I mean, I don't know if Tatum will average 24 like he did against Philadelphia, but he'll average 20+. And Cleveland's not as good of a defensive team as the Sixers. Now, Cleveland has the experience factor, and they have a team that is built for the playoffs, like basically the antithesis of Toronto. Boston, like, I think if I'm going to say the most important player, no, he's not the best player, but I think Al Horford, his the way
he's
steadied,
huge. Oh my God, he's such a huge yep.
The way he steadied them as that point forward, the way he defends, the way he embraces the challenge. Again, he's not their best player, but I'd argue he might be their most important. And he'll be enormous in the series to kind of neutralize Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson the way he's done so well against other bigs. And I do think Brad Stevens has a significant advantage in this series just because he's earned all these accolades. I mean, he really, the X's and O's, the motivating, coming out of timeouts, the lineups, that to me will be enormous as well.
You know, it's funny, and as you watched the Celtics 76ers series play out, okay, and I've said this throughout my career, the biggest games in sports turn sometimes on a single moment, and you look at the pass that Simmons threw, that Horford got on Saturday. And how about the other night, the Celtics, Jordan, they're looking at going back to Philadelphia, okay? They're looking at having made a lot of trouble for themselves down the stretch in the fourth quarter, and could J.J. Redick have gotten a better look on a three that would have put them up five in that moment and probably won the game for them?
No, and you know, gosh, if Philadelphia just, they were so close in that series. You know, we thought going into the playoffs, though, Mike, they might be a year or two away. And I think you saw the inexperience.
Yes, yes, you know? Yes, yes.
I mean, Simmons, you know, the one-point game. Then he had the 16-8 game, but he struggled with a few costly turnovers. I mean, those are the things you'll learn from. And that's why, if you're a Boston fan, you're so excited, because these reps for guys like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Rozier are going to play really well, not only this year, but moving forward. Because these are young players that are getting opportunities that they wouldn't have gotten, at least not at this rate, because of the injuries. So there is a silver lining there. But Cleveland is just, they're really rolling. And, you know, we talked about them all year. Like, when are they going to figure it out? I mean, right. They averaged 122 points per 100 possessions against Toronto, which is almost 12 points better than the regular season. So their offense is rolling. I think the biggest question mark for Cleveland all year has been defense. And again, I wonder if they'll be able to consistently contain Boston in the half court.
When you look at the Cavs right now, Jordan, and Jordan and I are talking on the Friday Sports Reporters podcast. Okay, we now know that Lou and LeBron are going to war with what they know. Right. The ironic thing about all the changes that they made is very few guys are key guys for them right now. So we have seen a resurgence of Kevin Love, who, you know, when I see him doing what he's doing lately, you start to think that as prominent a player as he has been, he can be a little underrated. But to me, they have got to continue to get stuff and good minutes and production out of Tristan Thompson. And do you believe they will?
I totally agree with you. And the answer is no.
Oh.
Because Al Horford is different than Serge Ibaka.
Yes, he is.
I mean, think about that's yeah. The difference. You know, Horford is this steady vet. He's obviously an all-star. He is going to make you work for everything. And Serge Ibaka, you know, body is an Adonis, and yet he's, you know, he floats around the perimeter like he's 6'1".
Right.
So that's the biggest difference for me, and that's why I don't think he will. Now, I think Thompson will have an impact on the series, but just not at the same rate. And you mentioned Cleveland. Like, the Cavs are so much different than they were at the beginning of the year. I mean, four of the 10 players from, you know, essentially their opening game rotation are no longer there, whether it's Crowder and Rose. We talk about Dwayne Wade and Shumpert. So I'm glad you brought up George Hill. I think he's enormous for them on both ends, taking the ball handling responsibilities away from LeBron and also guarding.
Yep.
And Kevin Love, I mean, again, he was terrific the last two games of the Toronto series. Which Kevin Love are we going to get? Because if they can run pick and roll with him, then it's a totally different team. And if he's able to shoot it at a high clip, then all of a sudden the game totally opens up. There was a really interesting stat last night that basically broke down how successful Cleveland is with the pick and roll when it's him and LeBron, and they're one of the most it's one of the most lethal plays they run. I just don't know if they'll be able to do it at the same success rate against Boston.
You know what is always we've talked about this before. You know what's impossible for me to get out of my head about Kevin Love? In the single greatest moment of his basketball life, he put shutdown defense on Steph Curry that night in Game 7 when LeBron and the Cavaliers brought the championship back to Cleveland. And all I'm thinking is, if you've got that in you, it doesn't leave you. And I think he's going to be an extremely important player in this series. And then you say, okay, Korver's just got to do, you know, what he's been doing lately. He's just got to make enough shots, because we've talked about this, okay? We see how little help LeBron has needed so far to get to this moment. But this is different with the Celtics because of the way they do get after it on defense. And as Bob Ryan keeps saying, Jordan, they're trying to get to the finals, so they're not looking for any moral victories here. This is a house money situation for them. Without Kyrie and without Gordon Hayward, they weren't supposed to be here. And I think that in an odd way, that's going to be liberating for them, even going up against the King.
And exactly the opposite, right, for LeBron. He is supposed to go to 8 straight finals, crazy as that sounds. All the pressure's on them. I mean, do you have confidence in Cleveland just because they played so well against Toronto? Or do you think we'll see, you know, that up and down Jekyll and Hyde Cleveland team that we saw for most of the year?
That's a good question, because I think two things have happened that do, well, obviously, what LeBron is doing right now has to give you confidence, whether you're a Cleveland fan or a basketball fan. I like the way they got smacked by the Pacers and came back. And everybody kept saying, oh, the Pacers will never win this series. I was never so sure of that, because they came back in all of the games where they were behind, the Pacers came back. But yes, when the Cavaliers showed up in game one against the Raptors, and I know the Raptors do what they do at this time of year, with their very best game. That's the thing. When do you produce your very best game? They produced it against Toronto, and that series was over after game one. So there are a lot of reasons to have confidence in the Cavaliers. But if you're not sure about Tristan Thompson, we're never sure about J.R. Smith. And so it's Love and Korver who become the most important sidemen if Thompson doesn't measure up. No, I listen, if I had to bet my own money, I would bet the Cavaliers. But right now, as good as they're going, Jordan, I wouldn't bet it with a whole lot of confidence.
No, you know, but Boston, you mentioned them being liberated potentially, and I think there's a lot to be said about that because I think a lot of that's on Brad Stevens. A lot of it's on when you watch them, they play very freely. And is there something to be said about being so young that you don't understand the magnitude of the moment with guys like Rozier, who's 24, Tatum, 20, Brown, 21? I mean, those three dudes are essentially just playing. It's like it's almost like they just go out and roll it out, and all these good things happen. And that's. That, to me, could be the biggest difference. There's a significant athleticism difference in this series. Boston got young legs. And I don't think Boston's going to shrink at all to the moment. But, you know, again, it goes back to Brad Stevens. But it's also just the way this team has been built. Guys like Baines, you know, who's just a mauler, is going to bother the Cleveland bigs.
Yeah.
You know, I Boston is awfully tough for me to pick against. Because they are so much better as a unit, you know, and it doesn't matter that they don't have their two superstars or their two stars with Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. Because, like we've said, have you ever seen a team lose these types of players and continue to find ways to win? And for me, the answer is no.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron lost Kyrie in the finals that time, and we saw how important that was as that series played out. But, you know, I was thinking about Horford. I was just thinking about Horford. One more thing about Horford. Horford knows how to be an important and essential complementary player on a really good team. And I know the college is never the pros. He played on one of the greatest college teams I've ever seen. The Florida team that won back-to-back. He knows how to do it. He has always been able to sublimate his basketball ego for the good of the team. And I think that's going to be really important. But when you talk about Kyrie, can you imagine how much more? And it was terrible what happened to Gordon Hayward, and we'll see. People will be reminded next year just how great he is. How much fun would it be to have Kyrie against the Cavs, against LeBron? Because, Jordan, yeah. You know there would have been a moment as early as game one in a big spot where Kyrie had the ball and LeBron came over to guard him, and everybody would have watched in that moment and said, okay, it's on.
That would have been magical. And as basketball fans, we deserve that, Mike. And we didn't get it. You know, we just didn't get it. I mean, Terry Rozier is from Ohio. You know, he's not.
Are you surprised at him, by the way? Are you surprised at the way he stepped up, especially against the Sixers?
Yeah, he's been the difference because he's him and Tatum, but even more so Rozier, like that end of the shot clock when you really need a guy to break you down. He's the one guy that's done it for Boston. And he's done it consistently. And I am surprised because he was a 16th pick, was not a lottery pick. He had a good career at Louisville, not a great career. And yet now at 24, he's burst onto the scene in a way that I don't even know if Brad Stevens thought they would get this early. So I've been really impressed with him. And going back to Horford, you know, motor, intelligence, those are skills now in today's NBA, and that's what Horford has. Aside from the skill set, the shooting, the passing, you know, he has the skill set in a way that is different because he's just relentless, and that's a skill as well. And I think, you know, Brad Stevens, like I wonder for you, obviously there's great players and there's great coaches. At some point, you're taking Brad Stevens, if you're building a franchise, you're taking Brad Stevens ahead of really good players because that's how important he is, right?
Like, oh, no.
Players come and go. Brad Stevens, he's the future of this league.
Jordan, you've heard me say this before. If you brought every great coach now working into the gym right now, Krzyzewski, whoever, pop anybody, and I got the first pick, I don't even hesitate with picking Stevens. All right, and again, here's how great the Final Four is in the NBA. We've now spent this much time on LeBron and the Celtics because that's a pretty great marquee. And we haven't even gotten to the main event. Before we do, today's episode of the Sports Reporters is sponsored by Mattress Firm. Everyone knows how important stretching is before an event. So does Mattress Firm, except it's your dollar. Your budget stretches further at Mattress Firm, so shop at America's Neighborhood Mattress Store. It's a true home run. They're the head coaches when it comes to mattress expertise, but know this, they're more than mattress experts. They have a game plan that helps you transform your mattress into a bed. From adjustable bases and sheets to headboards and bedroom decor, they have you literally and figuratively covered up like your favorite cornerback. Go to mattressfirm.com to see what the deals are happening. They even offer you a 120-night sleep trial. All the Raptors would be able to use this, Jordan, to ensure perfection and a 120-night low price guarantee so you know you pay the perfect price. Talk about a 1-2 punch. Score big with a perfect bed. Head to mattressfirm.com and use code podcast10 for 10% off. The code is only valid through June 5th, so don't miss out. Get the play-by-play and how you can monumentally improve your sleep today, tonight, tomorrow, only at Mattress Firm. Okay, Jordan, before we get to the Rockets and the Warriors, let me ask you one more question about the series we just discussed. No matter what happens and no matter who wins the NBA title this year, don't you think there is a very good chance that next year's Boston Celtics might be the preseason favorite to win it all?
Ooh, I love that because they're going to essentially be the same team, and they also have another high pick. I think that's really possible. I wonder what they do with Hayward, Brown, and Tatum because there is some duplicity there, right?
Yeah, but they got a coach who will figure it out. They got the perfect coach to figure it out, right?
Yeah, because next year, I think they could be the same team because Rozier will be restricted in 2019. I think because the beauty of Boston is it's almost like the Seahawks when they won their Super Bowl a few years back, where it's like all these young guys are on rookie deals, and so they have all this other roster flexibility that's allowed them to get to pay Kyrie and to pay Gordon Hayward and Horford. So, yeah, I think that's really possible. And they're just getting started. I mean, the growth of this team is our – we're witnessing it before our eyes. But regardless of what happens, I could absolutely see that. You're saying even if the Warriors
– or the Rockets or LeBron. Whoever. You're looking at what the Celtics have done this year, and then you're basically adding Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward next year if they're both healthy, and you're thinking, okay, go ahead, Danny. Have some fun with your next draft choice, too. I just think that this is a particularly great time for the Boston Celtics, despite the way they got leveled by two big injuries, one early and one late. All right, here's the main event. Here's the main event. Warriors-Rockets, okay, which we have been waiting for, in the words of Louis Karnacek, since they rolled the balls out. When you look at this series, and the sides now look even because everybody is healthy, who is the most important player in the Western Conference Finals?
That is great. That's why they pay you the big bucks, Mike. Ooh, P.J. Tucker. No, he is important, though.
Is it Chris Paul? I mean,
I was going to say, I think it's Chris Paul.
It is?
Yeah. Yeah. For me, just because Harden is spectacular. And Paul's terrific, and he had the 41-point game against to close out the last series. I just think Paul, he's never been to a Western Conference Final or Conference Final. There's been a ton of pressure building on him in his career. Why can't this all-time great point guard win? He's finally done it. Now what? And the way he's played off of James Harden and played off the ball has been a revelation, and that's why ultimately Houston has had this type of success, because Paul has been so willing to defer. I think in this series, he needs to play at an elite offensive level, score the ball, shoot the ball, be aggressive, almost be more selfish than normal, because they're going to need to score. And the reason I bring that up is because if I'm the Rockets, and I mentioned this this week on the pull-up with my podcast with CJ McCollum, is that
yeah, what did you do to that poor guy? But I mean, you know, he hooks.
I mean,
Jordan, let's just, we haven't discussed this enough. Poor CJ hooks up with Jordan Schultz, and in like moments, he's out of business.
I know. Trust me, it's been a growing level of contention. We've been watching the playoffs together, and I could see it was uncomfortable for him, you know, to watch.
Right.
And it's really interesting to watch the playoffs with a guy like that.
Sure.
Just to see and hear things broken down differently. But I said, CJ, don't you want to be out there? And he was just like, man, why do you ask me that right now? Of course, you know, and I just felt so badly because I was like, you know, I ruined you. But he has a great attitude about it. And, you know, he's 26 and really coming into his own. So I think good things are.
Yeah, I don't think you can end his career, Jordan. I wasn't suggesting that. He's got too much talent and too much ahead of him. But he did. I'm just connecting the dots here. A timeline.
Yeah, I know.
He hooks up with my friend Jordan Schultz and boom, he gets whooped.
It's bad things happen when you hang out with me, Mike. So, you know, after today, you might want to limit this podcast with me. But, you know, listen, I think the bottom line with the Rockets is if I'm them, I would almost play back at Golden State. Like, everybody's too scared to play that pace.
Right.
But I don't think the Rockets can beat them in a prolonged series if they're playing slower and playing in the half court trying to contain the Warriors. I think the Rockets are at their best, Mike, when they're playing back at people, and
they have to.
That
you're
speed.
Right. If they can't change at this point. And you know, Jordan, when you just said that, it occurred to me. Okay, and I'm not saying Mike D'Antoni has got different talent here and everything else. And I'm not saying he's playing the way he played when he was the coach of the Suns. But I when you said that, I was thinking, okay, if they do get into that kind of game with the Warriors, okay, will there be a certain amount of ego and to say, oh, yeah, no, we're going to play our game, or will they have the capacity to change if they have to?
Can Mike D'Antoni, you're saying, recognize, let's say they're down 2-0 or 2-1.
Yes, yes.
And the things aren't going well. Can he adjust?
Right.
I don't know if they're built to do that, though. You know, shooting 43s a game and the way that he's shepherded in this pace and space era of hoops, and like I just don't think so. I don't think they adapt at that rate, you know. And that's one of the reasons why they've been so good, is that they're just so stubborn about it. But they don't rely on the same ancillary pieces as, you know, a Cleveland, for example. Like, it's Paul and Harden's show. It's great if, you know, Ariza and Anderson are making threes. I would argue that Eric Gordon could be the big difference for them. He has not shot the ball well. Points are down from 18 to 14. Shooting is way down in the 30s. He's the one guy that for Houston needs to really step up, because he can get his own shot. He can defend. I just think he might be that one ancillary part. But I think the Rockets are, you know, they're a juggernaut, and they have the number one play in the NBA. The number one most points per play in the NBA is this. It involves the Rockets. I'll leave it at that. Harden screen for Chris Paul averages 1.25 points per game. No other play is more efficient than that. So that's, I would imagine they'll be running that a ton.
You know, it's funny about Paul, it's interesting that I'm not even sure that a team that won 65 games and has home court is the favorite in this series. And I kind of look at it the way I look at the Celtics and the Cavaliers. But when you look at, I was talking to a coach the other day, NBA coach who has no skin in this game, and says that Paul is in a perfect situation now because he didn't believe that Paul could ever be the best player on the team. So now he doesn't have to be the best player on the team. And I think all the off the ball stuff that you're talking about and all the screen stuff you're talking about plays into that theory, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. And I think that's why he's so good, because he's so good at adjusting, and he's smart enough and skilled enough where he can do both. He can, like, this guard to guard action that they run is really cool. And that's again, D'Antoni kind of just thinking in the game differently. I think Chris Paul is the happiest and most comfortable. He wanted this opportunity to play off the ball. And so, you know, and Harden's the one guy that allows you to do it, because ultimately, and Bill Simmons said this on his podcast this week, you know, a lot of times when you watch Houston, it's not necessarily pretty, because if they don't get a ball screen, it's just clear out for Harden and he'll make the right play. But that's what's been so good for Chris Paul, is that ability to just say, I don't always need to make the play. My biggest thing with Houston is this. Capella was so good against Utah, right? And they were able to expose Rudy Gobert on the switches with the perimeter and force him to guard their guards. I don't think the Rockets can do that against Golden State, because the Warriors can just put Draymond at the five or KD at the five. And now they have this defensive flexibility that Utah just didn't have. So that's my question mark with them in the half court. And that's why I say I think Houston needs to run.
Okay, here's who I think is the most important player in this series. And it's so hard for me to wrap my mind around the fact that number 30 is 30 now. And that's Steph Curry, okay?
I know, right? It's crazy.
Number 30 is 30, okay? Because it just seems like he still looks like he's 12-year-old and is in the gym looking for his dad, okay? But Jordan, he missed 31 regular season games. He missed 31 regular season games. And I'm not even sure that the Warriors this year would have been grinding to have the best record, even if he had been around. But when he's out there and he is healthy, and I'm going to assume that he is healthy enough to be Steph in this series, to me, he is the one that still gives the Warriors the edge. The Warriors are not the Warriors when he's not playing at an extremely high level. And for those 51 games, by the way, he still averaged 26 points again in his game. And as great as Durant is, we still know whose team it is.
So you're saying that if Curry plays, let me ask you this, if Curry plays pretty well,
yep,
does Golden State win this series?
Yes.
So let's say he's not averaging 27, he's not shooting 48%. But let's say he still plays pretty well. Does Golden State still beat Houston?
Yes. Oh, you mean if he's less than his best, the way
right? You know, just like because Houston's going to throw everything at him. They're going to switch everything. They're going to trap him. I mean, they're going to make it as difficult as possible. I don't know how much it matters, but he, given that he's not played a ton, he's missed a lot of action this season, and he hasn't played a lot in the playoffs. I just wonder, at some point, does that catch up? So I'm just saying, hypothetically, if Curry doesn't have a great series, the Warriors still win this.
Okay, if you put it to me that way, I say no. What I was saying to you is, if Steph is Steph, they win. That's what I think, okay? Because we obviously saw what Durant did in the biggest moments. All right, so all right, let me, I, you know,
well,
full,
yeah.
I'm full of questions.
All I was going to say is, with him, their efficiency is, from an offensive standpoint, it's 120 without a 106. So you're, I mean, he is the difference.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal. All right, how much of a factor is it, and how much pressure is there on Harden and Paul? All right, so we got Durant and Curry on one side. They've done it, okay? And they've done it together. Neither Harden nor Chris Paul has done it. And how much of them not having done it is going to be a factor going up against the champs?
Oh, I think it's enormous. Because all that regular season success we saw with Toronto, you know, it doesn't always translate. Now, it has so far for Houston. They won 65 games this year with the best plus minus rating in
right,
the league.
Right, right.
And they're 50-5 with Harden, Paul, and Capella. So they've been almost unbeatable with those three dudes. And now that they are healthy, you have to wonder, does that pressure and just a little bit of doubt, especially if they go down 2-0, or let's say they go down 1-0 at home. Because remember, Golden State's on the road, which is strange for them. I wonder if that pressure creeps in. Because they don't have the playoff experience and all these wins that
nope,
the Warriors
no
have.
Muscle memory. Nope, no muscle memory. Nope.
You know, I mean, even KD all those years who got hammered for not winning, he's now going for his second. So do you – for me, it matters, yes. I wonder for you, what do you think?
I think it's – to me, it is one of the most important and fascinating narratives about this series. And not just because of Paul and Harden. The same thing applies to the coach. Came close, hasn't done it. Harden has come close, hasn't done it. Paul never came as close as this, hasn't done it, okay? And Paul's, you know, playoff resume was starting to feel like Carmelo's playoff resume. Oh, no, to me, you don't know you can do it until you did. Now, Durant did it, but Jordan, he did it by getting added to this band. You know, it was he got to be the fifth Beatle, or the, you know, he got to be another Rolling Stone. It's just different from the Rockets. They have home court, they have the muscle memory of a 65 win season, but they have to know that if Steph had played a full regular season, they would have been life and death with the Warriors to the finish for best record in the league.
Do you think it matters that the Rockets have this home court and that they're starting at home and they can potentially go up 2-0? Like, does any of that play a difference?
A little bit, except, you know, it's like the old Tyson line. Everybody's got to play until they get hit. If the Warriors go in and win game one, boom, okay, home court gone. 65 wins, all of that you did to get that, gone.
Right.
Okay.
Just, yeah. And, well, look at the Raptors. Yeah, same thing.
Yeah. And so, no, I just think that the biggest hill to climb in this series is for the Rockets, because not only is there a chance for them to collectively, you know, take that final step, but look who they have to take it against. They have to take it against these guys who are trying to think they're going to go to four finals in a row.
Yeah, I just the Warriors. It just makes me happy to talk about them, and it makes me happy to talk about this series, because having a legitimate challenger is what every great team needs. You see in the East, the future of the East is, regardless of what LeBron does, it's Boston and Philadelphia, two young teams full of talent. The future of the West is still the present. It's Golden State and it's Houston, these two wonderful offensive teams. I think Golden State is superior, and I think you've seen it in the postseason. All this talk about the Warriors being vulnerable has not come to fruition yet. But Houston does have a fantastic opportunity now to change all of that. And Harden is slowly changing the playoff narrative around his career that's not been very good. Like, you know, remember Tracy McGrady all those years in Houston? Never could win a playoff series. Harden is starting to reverse all this negative criticism. But if they go down and they lose to the Warriors, and he doesn't play well, which is possible, then all of it returns. To me, despite the Warriors being the defending champs, there's more pressure on the Rockets.
I think so, too. And we may have a lot of fun with this in a week or two or three, okay? Not only do I think the Warriors are going to win, I'm not convinced it's even going to take them seven games. How about that?
Oh, I think how about this? You're talking about against Houston, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking the Warriors in five, Mike.
Oh, so we're in the same lane on this. I just think that the Warriors are whole now. They're extremely confident. And okay, let me ask you a basketball question. When you're up against the Warriors, okay, the refs aren't going to give you the best whistle. Is Harden going to get all the calls that he gets during the regular? And this is nothing against James Harden, folks. He had an unbelievable season. He's going to be the MVP. But, oh, my God, all he's got to do is head for the basket and then throw his arms up in the air and he gets
right.
Two shots.
Extend his arms. Yeah, I don't think he'll get those same calls because he's not going to get the same opportunities. The Warriors have they do a fantastic job at funneling drivers, and you'll see it early on in the series. They'll make a real effort to establish that to Harden that he's not going to get his same looks. Now he'll get into the lane, he'll make his step backs because he's just a fantastic player, but he's not going to have the same opportunities to go to the line. And no, obviously no player goes to the line more, but the Warriors defense is really rolling right now. A big part of that is because they're so versatile. They got Iguodala back in the mix. Draymond's numbers from a defensive efficiency standpoint have been awesome in the playoffs, and KD kind of reemerging as a rim protector. They're just so versatile on that end of the floor, and Houston doesn't have the same versatility defensively. They've been much better under D'Antoni. They've hovered around the top 10 this year, but the Warriors still have the ability to lock you down. That's why I don't think Harden will have the same success.
And you know that I always say that as wonderful a time as this is in the NBA, it's still not as interesting to me when LeBron is not in the gym. As someone who is immersed in the sport, who has seen this incredible generation of NBA stuff as a young guy, watching these young guys to play the way they do, do you think it is good for the game if we get LeBron against the Warriors for the fourth straight time?
I do, but I think I might be in the minority there, Mike.
No, I agree with you. I want it. I'd be happy to see it, just because it is. It will be so compelling to see LeBron get a chance against his nemesis, the Warriors, to prove once and for all that he can walk into a gym, find four really good guys, and say, "Hey, you guys doing anything in June? Want to go to the NBA Finals with me?"
Yeah, and that's. That's the beauty of LeBron. I mean, he's averaging 35 points in the playoffs, and he's doing it with so much ease. I just want to see LeBron as much as possible. So the more games, the better. That's why I'm like, Toronto, give me something.
Right.
To be swept is just brutal. So I think that's the best series. Boston's going to have plenty of opportunities in the coming years. I just want to see LeBron as much as possible. I also love seeing the LeBron KD stuff. I just think it's really cool to watch those guys go out, even if they don't guard each other all the time. And I think for all the criticism of the Cavs this year, it'd be a cool story for them to get back to the finals.
But it sounds
like you feel like that's the best series as well. For sure, like not even close.
Yeah, it's like this is the Cleveland Boston is very difficult for me because I cannot root against Brad Stevens, but I want to see LeBron see if he can pull this thing off, because you know this, you have grown up watching this. As great as the Warriors are, even they have found out how hard it is to get four games off of LeBron at this time of the year. And the other thing that I love about a potential Warriors-Cavs final, you know, final four, okay, a fourth time, is this. I think LeBron doesn't like Durant. I don't know if he'd ever come out. I think he's pissed off that the Durant went to Golden State to get the title.
Like, he feels like that was a slight against, like, him. Almost.
I don't
like,
know what he, I think, he, I don't know if he's jealous or pissed off, but I just think that, I don't think he feels that way about Steph, but I do, and I have no, I, this is strictly my own thought about this. There's just something about Durant that seems to piss him off.
There's something about Durant that does rub people in general the wrong way. You know, like, the social media stuff, the burner account, you know, the way he, like, I don't know I'm not sure what it is, but it's kind of like, it just seems like certain players have a thing against him. And I think Durant's a good guy. And I think if you talk to most players, they'll tell you that. But I agree with you with LeBron. And again, he would never say this, and they've had all the USA success together. But I agree with you that there's almost an annoyance there that he has to
annoyance
go up
might
him.
Yeah, annoyance right. Might be the good word. All right, listen, before we get to the Yankees and the Red Sox, today's episode of the Sports Report is also sponsored by Freshly. Freshly is the easiest and most convenient way to eat healthy, which Jordan Schultz hardly ever does, no matter what life throws his way. So even if you get stuck at work late, you can still come home to a delicious dinner cooked by a chef. No more worrying about what to figure, what's left in the fridge, especially no mess to clean up after. Freshly's chefs source the finest all-natural ingredients they can find and then work with nutritionists to ensure their meals are as healthy as possible. Any of their penne dishes is great. Shepherd's pie, all of that stuff. Chicken parm, great. The best part about Freshly is the number of comfort meals they currently have that are also super healthy. Customize your weekly meals from their constantly changing, rotating memories of more than 30 chef-crafted options. There's no weekly commitment, so you can get deliveries when you want them. Let me tell you, there's nothing better than knowing that no matter what happens in my daily life, that I have a chef-cooked dinner waiting for me at home, even though it is a little off-putting, Jordan, to come home and say, what's that chef doing in my kitchen, okay? check out this week's menu created by Freshly Chefs and get $25 off your first order of six chef-cooked dinners, plus free shipping by going to Freshly.com/sportsreporters. You'll feel so relieved to come home to a chef-cooked meal every night with Freshly. That's Freshly.com/sportsreporters for $25 off your first order. Okay, If there's one thing we have seen in baseball just this week and just so far from the Red Sox and the Yankees, just the way the NBA season is coming down to the season we want to see, the Red Sox, you saw that this week, Jordan, with these three amazing games at Yankee Stadium. They have already, just off the first six games, provided a season in the AL East that we only hoped we could get from both teams.
That was the best series in May of
time. It's crazy.
Wasn't it so fun? Even last night, they go down 4-0, New York does. They tie it up. Then Martinez hits a homer. And then I love all the post-game stuff with the managers, Boone and Cora, both talking about how they love their guys. And that's the kind of fight. That was an awesome series. And, you know, I was talking to Tony La Russa, who's with the Red Sox now, just about how good both these teams are. I got the sense that this is one of those years where Boston really respects and New York really respects what each team is doing, which means both these teams are going to be the two teams to beat. I mean, they're just that good.
I was at the Wednesday night game, and which the Yankees came from behind, and Judge finally hit one 12 miles off of Kimbrel in the eighth inning. And I was talking to Tony myself, and he was saying, we were talking about how that I think there is more young talent on the field right now with these two teams than there has ever been before.
Wow.
And with the Yankees, think about it. They've got four guys who are right now important players, okay? Andujar, Torres, Sanchez, and Judge. None of whom, they're all basically playing for the minimum.
The minimum.
Giancarlo Stanton is making like 10 times more than those four guys combined. But you look at the youth on this team. Now Judge is 26. I think Sanchez is 25. Torres is 21. Andujar is 23. Mookie Betts, 25. Bogarts is either 25 or 26. Benintendi is 23. Devers is 21. And Tony said, not only are they young, they are all high character young guys. They present their best selves on and off the field to baseball. If you're a Red Sox fan or a Yankee fan, this is an awesome time to be watching those two teams, Jordan, and this rivalry again.
Here's how I'll tell you it is. We've talked a lot about baseball, and does the younger generation, do they have the same connection to the sport, right, Mike?
Yes.
I think it was a few weeks ago. I had multiple buddies text me, are you watching this series? Like, turn it on.
Right.
During, and for that to happen in May is, I think that says all you need to know, because there's a lot of other stuff on right now. And for us to be locked into this series is pretty cool. And me being in New York, seeing the way people are talking about the Yankees again.
I know.
It's exciting, and it's great. It's so exciting. I'm glad you mentioned Betts, because he's probably the MVP right now.
Right now, yeah. Even as good as Mike Trout is going. And by the way, I pointed this out on Twitter, and this was before the Angels won last night. Pay attention to the Angels, right? You know, they got thrown down a flight of stairs by both the Yankees and the Red Sox at home. Other than that, they're like 23-8 this season, okay? And they're really good. But yes, when you look at these two teams, okay? When you look at these two teams, and I've spent a lot of time in Boston lately. I was on a book tour. My daughter goes to college here, so I'm seeing the excitement of this rivalry from both sides,
both cities, right?
This to me, this is a great another continuing advertisement for what you just referenced. How many times have we talked? I believe this. I believe there's more young talent across the board. And I'm talking about under 26 or under 27 than at any other time in baseball history. And the one fun.
That sounds awfully similar to the NBA right now, too.
Yes, yes. No, I was saying Red Sox-Yankees kind of just were a natural offshoot of the conversation we had about the Celtics and about everything that's going on in the NBA. This is, you know, I think you've heard me say this. One of the great things about being a dad and watching sports through my 20-something son's eyes is this. They think the good old days are now. And guess what, Jordan? They're right.
Because, and just in general, not just, you're saying as sports as a whole with all these young superstars.
Yes, yes, yeah. They don't want to hear about Michael anymore. They don't want to even hear about Kobe anymore.
Yeah, I was just gonna say it's not just Mike. It's like it's the Kobes. Like they don't want to hear about Kobe. I mean, guy just retired a couple years ago.
Yeah, no. When Kobe comes on. I sometimes think, well, what are you talking about, Grandpa? No, go watch Steph. Go watch Durant. No, this is a great time to be a sports fan. And you're right. I cannot remember a May regular season series that had the emotion, the drama, even the rain delay last night. And then, and Jordan, you know this, being in New York. When I was on the road last week, I was on a book tour last week, and I would go on my phone, go to MLB, and look, and I'd see those two yellow dots, meaning the Yankees had two guys on. And whatever the situation, I'm thinking, okay, they're about to score five runs. You just condition, right? You just condition to seeing what happened last night because it went from 4-0 to 4-0 like a blink, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Judge, it's the single, and then everything opens up, and you know, Didi to fielder's choice. Here's how good Didi's been. When he hits a fielder's choice and he drives in a run, you're like, ah, oh, Didi, come on, man. Like, because you're so used to him driving. I mean, he's the other guy, right? I mean, he's been unbelievable, too.
And fortunately, the Red Sox shut him down. The Red Sox, the only team he hasn't had success against this year so far, pretty much has been the Red Sox. Oh, my God. They're both 26-10, whatever, they're 26-11. Whatever.
Yeah.
And it's only going to get better. I think round three is at the end of June at Yankee Stadium. And no, very rarely in sport. Listen, the Rockets and the Warriors have done exactly what we thought they were going to do. And in a crazy way, LeBron has done exactly what he was supposed to do. The Celtics are the outlier because their two best guys got hurt. But when you look at what's happened with the Yankees and the Red Sox, you just thought, oh, yeah, they're doing exactly what they hoped they would do. But I want to tee you up on one more thing before we close up business for today. But one more read. This time of year brings us to two things, graduations and Father's Day and the gifts that go along with them. Before you give Dad another tie or grad a balloon that will probably just float away, ask yourself this. Does my dad or grad like wings or sports or better yet both? If the answer is yes, then get them a Buffalo Wild Wings gift card right now. If you purchase a $30 worth or more in store or online, they'll give you a $5 bonus to keep for yourself. That's a gift that gives back. How generous of you, Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports, terms and conditions apply. I just want to throw in one football subject today and this whole Roethlisberger, Mason Rudolph thing, Jordan. I'm sorry. When did Ben Roethlisberger's job description become mentor?
It's the same exact scenario, almost to a T at least, as Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. Remember how Favre didn't want to deal with this kid?
Right.
Big Ben is 36, 37. He doesn't want to deal with this
bright-eyed guy
coming in.
No, hell no.
And I don't blame him, honestly. I mean, you know, it'd be great if he would help you mentor, you know, Rudolph and be there for him. But that's not he doesn't care really ultimately because by the time Rudolph plays, he won't even be there.
This idea that Roethlisberger is doing something wrong. I mean, this is like the old showbiz story, the old broad, you know, All About Eve, the classic old movie about the ingenue who wants to take the leading lady's role. No. If I'm a Steelers fan, I want Ben Roethlisberger thinking about one thing, rousing himself to have one more big year and go to one more Super Bowl. That's it. This is not summer camp. This to me is the fun. Don't you think this is like the funniest controversy going on in sports right now?
Well, the reason it's so funny is that Big Ben has never been known as like this great team guy. And he's kind of the last few years, he's become known as like a better guy, you know, like he's changed and he's way more into family and all, but when it comes down to it, when this young kid comes in, third round pick, Big Ben has zero interest in helping him. And I have no problem with it. I mean, I'd love to see it. But I totally get it, and it's not surprising.
Listen, the Lubega boys do their own podcast. It's called In the Loop, and it's terrific. But they tweeted out the other day, all this talk about Big Ben's comments about mentoring Rudolph, is there any evidence of a quarterback who didn't develop due to lack of mentorship? The answer is no.
Zero. Zero. Rudolph will be a great quarterback or not based on him.
And by the way, it doesn't appear that Aaron Rodgers, do you think Jordan has been scarred by his lack of mentorship from Brett Favre?
I think it really damaged him, Brett.
Oh, my God.
I think Brett really damaged him, Mike. I mean, I don't know why I don't know why people are so fascinated by this in May, by the way. We just talked about this great series in baseball, the Yankees and Red Sox. The playoffs have been great in the NBA. I've even watched some of the NHL playoffs. And people still want to talk about the NFL.
I know. Listen, as usual, pal, this has been so much fun. You know, you come back and do this whenever you want to, whether it's two of us or three of us. I can only imagine how crazed you're going to be watching the NBA over the next couple of weeks.
Oh, I cannot wait. You know what I didn't ask you, Mike, by the way? More important player for the Warriors, Draymond or Kevin Durant?
Oh, I listen. As much as I love Draymond's skill set, Durant. We saw you. Durant still is, and I'll tell you why. Go back and look at the last NBA final, and how does it come out? If Draymond's still doing his thing, but Durant doesn't do his thing to the extent he did it.
Yeah, the reason I brought it up because Draymond averaged a triple double against the Pelicans, and he was so good. I agree with you, but kind of similar to Cleveland with Kevin Love. Can they get that?
And Capella, listen, Capella's got to have a big series for the Rockettes too. Yeah, I really believe that he's kind of not. He doesn't have the same skill set as Draymond, but he's kind of that third guy. Jordan, again.
My pleasure, Mike. Thank you for having me.
I love talking about sports with you. We're here every Monday and Friday, and just on Monday, just one game between the Cavs and the Celtics. We're going to have a lot to talk about. For Jordan Schultz, this is Mike Lupica. Again, thank you so much for your support, and thank you for listening.